in the player spotlight, conveniently enough, Jacob Tammy.
Yeah, it's interesting that we'd have the play of the game, and it'd be Jacob Tammy. Jacob, appreciate you taking the time. These are always tough on days when you guys are trying to recoup body-wise and all that kind of stuff. And I kind of, because of the old player in me comes out, kind of tend to ask this question every time. Where are you body-wise? How are you feeling, you know, getting close to midpoint part of the year?
Yeah, you know, I feel good. Overall, I really can't complain. Year nine for me, you know, I think I find something new every year as far as my body goes. There's always something that you kind of learn about yourself and about how you recover better. And overall, I have no complaints. You know, every week, you know, you feel something every once in a while, but I've been able to work through a few little things and been relatively healthy and been pretty blessed on that front. So I feel good.
I was looking at this this morning before I knew we were going to visit today. Next Sunday will be your 130th career game, and you just mentioned 9 years. Do you think about the longevity of playing in this league? Because I don't know what the average is anymore. I mean, we heard various numbers for years.
Well, it's still relatively low because 3 years, three games to be vested. That still tells you there's a ton of guys that don't ever get to that. And Jake's in his ninth season, so
that
tells you a lot about
you. What's that mean?
Well, it's something I don't know. I feel really blessed to be able to have played 9 years. I really do. The kid in me and just doesn't really believe it. And the NFL football player in me thinks my best year is still out there. So, you know, I kind of hold both those thoughts in contrast. I can't, sometimes I wake up in the morning, shake my head, can't believe I'm here. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think, man, my best ball is still out there. So that's a good feeling to have at this point, to feel like, you know, you can still make plays and your best stuff's still out there. And I said that this offseason, I felt like my best season was still in front of me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're not here at the midway point yet. I don't know statistically where everything is because I don't really care, but I feel like, I got a chance to play some good ball.
So what's the energy point for you this year? Obviously, you said you felt good and you felt like your best year is out there in front of you, and seemingly there is a lot of energy with this football team, and I know yesterday's a tough day, but from an energy standpoint, this seems to be a group that's ascending, not descending.
Yeah, you know, it stinks when you lose. It stinks when you lose two in a row. And what you can't allow to happen, you know, is that creeping feeling of, you know, where you just I got no time for that feeling of last year and that sort of stuff. You know, we had that losing streak last year. Like I got no time for that right now. When that feeling starts to creep in, I nipped in the bud, told it to go away because we're a better team, we're a different team, and it's really just one week at a time, and no one wants to hear that. I don't know, it doesn't mean anything to anybody, but that's what it is. Like, that is what it is. We have a week right now where we got to get ready for Green Bay. We got to go beat Green Bay on Sunday. And that's all I really care about right now.
I think older players, and it always falls, coaches expect older players to kind of pass on to younger players. And you have a lot of young guys on your team, especially on the other side of the ball, that the window of opportunity is not very big. It's your career or a season. How much does that become even more imperative for a guy that's in his ninth season now? And you think, okay, I don't know how much longer I'm going to get a play, but if I got a chance to go to a championship or play for a championship, this might be one of those windows I need to take advantage of.
Yeah, it needs to be that way for everybody, like you said, because, look, the window of opportunity to be on good teams, you know, you just don't know when you're going to be a part of something like that. And that's the other thing, that I've been very, very blessed to be a part of some really good teams. I've been on good teams almost my whole career. Mm-hmm. And I don't take that lightly. You know, that's something I think is really neat. And has made my career a lot of fun. Now, having said that, it's not easy. You know, it's not always easy to go to the playoffs. It's never easy, and it doesn't always happen. You got to go make it happen, and to make runs at Super Bowls, you got to keep getting better. And so, I have been on some teams that I feel like have done that. You know, that have gotten better throughout the season, that have and done it by taking it one week at a time, going out, putting everything you can into winning one game and then doing it again and trying to win one game, and you can get to Super Bowls that way. Now, I'm 0-2 in those, which stings, but I'd love to get another shot. So I feel like we have the potential to do that, and it's not even worth talking about right now because it doesn't matter. But it's one week at a time, and that's how you end up getting to that deal at the end.
How much it eats at you when then you have a game like yesterday? Because it was a game that very easily the Falcons walk away with a win. You get up 27-10, and there were so many really unforced errors that happened in the game, the dead ball penalties, some of the stupid stuff that happened. Those probably kind of bother you more than having a team come in and maybe step on you.
It eats at you a lot, no doubt. And I would say the main reason it eats at me and I think our team is we didn't finish when we had a chance to. Mm-hmm. And we're not a group that's going to fail to finish. We had a chance to finish them, and we didn't get that done. So that kind of stinks. Now, there's definitely things to clean up, which is good because we have an opportunity to do that. And that's what I mean as far as nipping that feeling in the bud of, you know, it wants to eat at you, and it's okay for it to for a little while. Mm. But starting right about now, after we get done, we just get, you know, got done with that film, that's when you got to move on. We got to go get ready to beat Green Bay. So we got to get better, not let those things keep eating. If they're going to eat at you, let them eat at you until we get out there and get them fixed on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, and then we're ready to play.
Jacob Tammy with us in the Player Spotlight on this week's edition of the Dan Quinn Coaches Show. You're talking about the variety of teams and, you know, how fortunate you've been to be a part of three really good franchises, I would guess you would say. And this is a different team. Every team's different, whether you stay with the same team or you change clubs. What is it about this team that maybe we don't know? I mean, it's a combination of guys like you, 9 years. Babineau's an older guy. There's some 10-year guys. Then there's also a lot of young guys, Jake. What do we not know about this team maybe we should know?
I don't know. That's a good question. You know what? We have a – I think people have said this and are probably saying it. I will say it's probably the tightest-knit group. You know, when I first went to Indianapolis, we had a really veteran-led team, a lot of vets that, you know, had been there for a while. You know, there's probably 15 guys that have played together for a long time. But I think the difference with what we have right now here is we have a whole roster of guys that I would say, you know, are in it together as much or more than anywhere I've ever been. And so that's cool. That's a cool thing to play with a bunch of guys that you know are in it with you. And, you know, we're building that here. And it's, you know, I think it's going
to
show.
I wanted to ask you one question here real quick about Dwight Freeney.
Yeah.
It's the second time you've played with him.
Mm-hmm.
What does Dwight Freeney bring to this team? Because when he came here, I thought it was interesting. You really didn't get a lot of questions about what Freeney would bring. I kept thinking, well, Tammy played with him in Indianapolis. They might want to ask him, and nobody ever did.
Scott, I was hiding from him. I was trying to hide from
is that
you guys.
Why you were the, you know, most hated guy in the league again? Is that why?
No. You get that window in the open locker room, you got to go find something else to do.
Yeah, exactly.
What does he bring to this table to mix with these guys? Because I found it fascinating. You know him about as well as anybody when he got here.
He just has such a presence about him. You know, I think when he pulls a guy aside and talks to him about their pass rush, like, you listen.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he has. He has that, you know, he's done it so well for so long that and he knows how to talk to other – he knows how to talk to Vic about it. He knows how to talk to Grady about it. He knows how to talk to even AC. AC's done, you know, knows how to do it and all that. But Dwight just brings – a leadership perspective that's cool to see.
Jacob Tammy on our Player Spotlight here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Coach's Show with Dan Quinn. We just got through talking to Dan, so it was fun to have him on with us again. Your room is kind of interesting in the fact that you got you, the veteran guy, Levine's kind of middle of his career, what, 4 or 5 year guy, and then you got the young kid. I mean, talk about that, and you know, you just talk about Freeney pulling somebody aside. I would assume that Austin Hooper is kind of looking at you and saying, waiting for those pearls of wisdom to drop from your lips as well.
Well, it's tough for me. I mean, I got all these Stanford guys, man. Hoop and Levine.
And then Perkins went to Washington, right?
You know, yeah.
Pac-12
yeah,
guys all the time?
A lot of California, West Coast people, which is just tough on me. But, Hoop's been great. Hoop's been great. We have a really fun room. We have a room of guys that support each other. We got a room of guys that can all bring something to the table for our team. I think you know, we're able to get out there together some, with all three of us on the field, which is always fun. You know, tight ends take a lot of pride in 13 personnel making appearances, and we've had some success in it throughout the season so far. So that part's been really fun. But yeah, it's fun for me to play with these guys. I have a lot of fun playing with them. You know, when I do have a tidbit for Hoop, I think he takes it well, and You know, he's going to be a very good player in this league, and Levine's been doing a heck of a job with everything we've been asking him to do, from blocking standpoint to some catches here and there. Big touchdown last week, obviously. So it's a fun room. It's a really fun room.
All right, the fans are fearful. You guys jumped out 6-1 last year. You just talked about it. This is not last year's team. This is this year's team. There's a whole group of guys that weren't involved with that team a year ago. But the fans are fans, and they see, okay, lost a couple in a row to two pretty good teams, you know, Seattle and San Diego. What do you need to do to get ready to – I know it's not rocket science. It's not something you need to a magic button to press about coming to play, but what do you need to get changed and get right for Green Bay?
Well, we got
to
correct some of those pre-snap things that we had, just simple mistakes that kind of slowed us down a little bit offensively. And, you know, I think defensively, obviously, when you look at it, not giving up the big play on a couple times. You know, really, there was a lot of good things when you look at this tape. You know, there was a lot of good things. There's the things we have to correct, or you know, that's what we have to go get done this week. And in NFL football, it's a long haul. You know, we're not even halfway done with this season. So when you look at the big picture, you know, we got a lot of football left. And at the small picture, which is where as a player you're focused, we just got to go get a little bit better.
You've played with a lot of great perimeter players. You know, that the receivers in Indianapolis, the receivers in Denver. You've got one here that is arguably as good as any of those guys that you played with. What
Not
the heck
arguably.
Is – Okay, he is better than who
– You said as good as. He's
okay.
Every bit as good
okay.
as.
Okay.
Probably better.
I appreciate the qualifier.
Sorry.
Perfect. No, you're
no,
fine.
I just want to make sure I
– Would those guys that you just talked about gotten the calls the last 2 weeks? Julio Jones has been interviewed with twice at the end of the game. What's going on?
You got to ask me about all that.
I got to ask you about it. Julio said he could have caught the ball last night, and the guy said it was uncatchable.
Well, let me tell you, I'll say this. I mean, there's a memo to any officials out there. There is no uncatchable ball for Julio Jones. I think that they should understand that one.
There you go.
But, no, you know, like Coach Q said after the Seattle game, it never comes down to one call. This happened to me in high school baseball. It never comes down to one call. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't, and that's a fact. You look at it, and it looks like it does, and you can be mad about it, and of course you are. But as a player, as someone that's in it, it never comes down to that, and you can't let it. So that's where we're at.
Your old buddy from Indy in Denver, he's been on like a tour every Saturday. I see him at a college football game and then he's got a few commercials out there.
Yeah, a couple.
Yeah, but he's been like –
He's the best pitch guy in America.
He's doing pretty well in terms of that, but he's also been to a lot of college football games. I mean, he was Tennessee, Texas A&M a couple weeks ago. I saw him on the field at a couple other games. Is this just kind of like I'm finding out what I'm going to do? So I've missed a lot of college football, so I'm going to get caught up type thing?
Yeah, I guess. I do. I think he's – I sent him a message when he was at the A&M game, told him that he was the reason Tennessee couldn't make another miracle comeback. So,
how'd that go over?
I guess he was at some of the other ones, too.
How'd that
go over?
So it
probably didn't work. But, you know, I'm happy for him. I think he's having a good fall. You know, he's been able to go watch Eli some and go watch Tennessee and go do something. Not that anyone ever want to go watch Tennessee, but he does, I guess. So I think he's been able to have fun doing some things he hasn't been able to take advantage of in a long time since having played so long. So I'm happy for him.
Well, keep balling, man. It's fun to watch you. That was a big-time catch for the touchdown, by the way. I don't know if anybody didn't see it. The ball was on the back shoulder a little bit. I'm sure Matt would like to have had that ball a little more to the inside. But when you got a catch radius like Jacob Tammy, you put it in the area and let him make a grab.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. Way to go, man.
All right. Jacob Tammy with us in the Player Spotlight, another edition of the Dan Quinn Coaches Show. In the books, we'll take next week off with the short week and Thursday night in Tampa. Back with you in 2 weeks.